This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Duncan, it's the Official Coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Mike DeFabo, athletic, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for that news house, and we'd like to bring Mike in right now. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, happy Friday. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. Are you on a different phone today?
I have my headphones hooked up to my phone. Do I sound better?
No, it sounds different, but not better, not worse, just different. So there's that. The Steelers are different now. No Terrell Edmonds. Are they better or worse? Tell me.
Well, they don't have a starting strong safety, so I don't think we'll know that answer until we figure out how they fill that vacancy. And they also signed DeMonte KZ, but I like him more as the third safety in a three safety package or a rotational player. I still feel like I really enjoyed what Terrell Edmonds did playing in the box and freeing Minkah Fitzpatrick up to be the ball hawk in center field. So, you know, I think right now, if you're looking at what the Steelers did in free agency, they addressed a lot of the needs, so I felt like going into the draft, they weren't pigeonholed into one specific position feeling like they needed a starter until this move happened now. And now I feel like this immediately becomes the biggest need for the Steelers this becomes a need for the Steelers. They have to one way or another figure out who's going to be their starting strong safety. Do they go out and get one of the handful of guys who's still available on the market, or do they select somebody in the draft? And that, I guess, remains to be seen.
Mike, who do you anticipate the starting middle linebackers, off-ball linebackers for the Steelers to be? Is it going to be Holcomb? Is it going to be Roberts? Is it going to be Robinson? Are they going to draft somebody? Who do you anticipate being the starters for this season?
The way I look at that dynamic is kind of similar to what they had last year. So think about the two starters they had last year. They had one guy who, ideally, Devin Bush was supposed to be the speedy guy who was better in coverage. And then alongside him, they had more of a traditional downhill type of thumper in Miles Jack. So they brought those two guys both gone, bring in two new guys. Cole Holcomb, in a sense, will fulfill the responsibilities that Devin Bush had last year or should have if he was at his best in terms of a lot of the coverage ability. And actually, Cole Holcomb's athletic profile in terms of the measurables is similar to what Devin Bush's was coming out of the draft, which is kind of interesting. And then Landon Roberts is going to be the guy, first and second down run stopping kind of guy. But I wonder if he's going to have to come off the field on third down. And that's where I think it'll be interesting for the Steelers is, Terrell Edmonds, in addition to what he did at safety, there's a ripple effect at linebacker where he could have also represented a linebacker in certain sub packages in nickel and dime. And so when you lose him, you also lose that flexibility to your defense and some of the other unique creative type of things you could have used him in that role. So that's where I wonder, do you also want to go look for a coverage linebacker in the draft? And the trouble is very few linebackers in general are good at coverage. And in this year's draft in particular, there aren't a ton of high-end caliber inside linebackers. So, you know, the two names people are talking about are Drew Sanders from Arkansas and Trenton Simpson from Clemson. If the Steelers feel like they do want to continue to bulk up at that position or address that position, I should say, those would be two of the names that I think to think about.
Well, doesn't the Jack Campbell from Iowa also fall into that, given that they were just out there this week, Mike? A guy who can play a true inside linebacker, can cover, can also fill in the run. I mean, I saw he lined up in the slot, I want to say, half a dozen times per game this year as well. He really did play all over the field. Is that a realistic option at 32 or 49?
I think the way that the off-ball linebackers are rated, there's a chance you could get the best one, Drew Sanders, at 32, just because of the way the position, these guys coming out aren't considered high-end prospects, and then also the way the position has evolved. So I think you could get Jack Campbell, I mean, possibly 49, possibly even after that. But it is noteworthy, obviously, that Mike Tomlin was at the Iowa Pro Day, because that's not typically one that's on his tour. So I did find that a little bit interesting, and maybe Jack Campbell was indeed the guy that they were looking at.
A lot of guards on this team here, Mike. Do you think that it's going to be James Daniels as an odd man out? How do you look at that with Herbig coming in and Seumalo? What do you think they're going to do there?
Well, I think you have to pencil in Seumalo as one of the starters. And I think most likely left guard would be his position, but who knows? But he's got to be based on, you know, his pedigree, his background, and the term that they gave him. That's a starter's contract. So I imagine he's going to be a starter. So then that creates a competition. I feel like the depth chart, if I were to write here in the middle of March, give it to you, I would say James Daniels would be the next likely candidate to start at guard. And then I think Nate Herbig would provide quality competition and depth. And I see Kevin Dotson as an odd man out at this point, where I think he's pretty far down the depth chart providing, you know, he's going to be a backup at that point. And I guess I just am kind of curious what Nate Herbig brings, because he was always that guy that was a fringe starter, that when a guy would get injured, he would be the guy that would step up and perform admirably. And all of his rankings and all the way people evaluate him, he performed like a starter, but never really got a chance to do it full time. And that's what I was curious what they envisioned him as. Did they imagine we're going to be the team that finally gives him that chance to start full time all 17 games? It doesn't appear so with bringing in Seumalo as well, but you know, it certainly is going to add some competition to guard, and I think that's necessary. You know, the five regulars appeared in all 17 games last season. You can't count on that kind of good luck and good health again next season. So, you know, I think addressing the line in a variety of ways, getting better and also getting deeper, I think was very smart.
Twitter, it's brought to you by Southhills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Mike DeFabo, Athletic, joining right now. Do the Steelers need another high-end receiver?
I think that based on the other numerous needs, that's not a top of the draft wish list. You know, if you can get a guy for a bargain, or you do the classic Steelers thing, you draft a guy in the second day who turns into a really solid player, I think that that's great. But I just feel like, you know, they need a starting strong safety right now. They really could use their future at corner. They could protect Kenny Pickett with an offensive tackle. They need to start planning for Cam Hayward's, you know, eventual retirement down the line, or the future after Cam Hayward. That's five positions right there that I feel like are more important than wide receiver. You know, I think that he has a good target in George Pickens. I think that Deontay Johnson is going to have a bounce back season. He still had the 15th most receptions in the league, even though he didn't catch a touchdown last year. And then Pat Freiermuth, as much as he's detached from the line of scrimmage and lines up in the slot, you know, he's really like a receiver, the third receiver on the team anyway. So, you know, do you need a fourth target for Kenny Pickett? I know it's popular to surround these young quarterbacks with a, you know, array of weapons. But, you know, Omar Khan said himself, I wouldn't have traded Chase Claypool if I wouldn't have felt comfortable with the receiver room. So I think internally the Steelers feel comfortable with it. And I see way more positions of need that should not be one of the biggest priorities right now.
You know, we've discussed multiple times that there obviously is a hole at strong safety. And now Terrell Edmunds, he's going elsewhere. You did re-sign KZ. We all probably think that KZ is better suited as a third safety. And correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't think anybody ever gave a definitive answer of this guy's position. Could we possibly see Patrick Peterson as a strong safety?
I'm curious about that. I don't know. I mean, he did talk a little bit about how the Steelers could use him in a similar safety role, talking about how he's always asked and kind of advocated for himself, asking his coaches, can you please move me around a little bit and use the fact that I'm such a good player and trick the defense a little bit. So I imagine there'll be instances when Patrick Peterson does fulfill responsibilities of a safety. but I still feel like his primary position is at corner, and that they still need to think about, you know, strong safety, adding to that position group rather than thinking Patrick Peterson. Because if you take him out of if he becomes your starting safety, then you're giving your then you're just moving the need from you know safety to corner. You still are going to need a corner at that point. So, you know, I think maybe he could contribute in that capacity, but I wouldn't expect him to be the starter.
How close are they, Mike, to getting a Highsmith extension done, and how does that affect what they want to do behind Watt and Highsmith and adding depth at that position?
Well, when Omar Khan was asked about that at the combine, I mean, he acted like they definitely were going to try to get something done. He was like, you guys know how we work. We don't like to let young, talented players go in free agency. So I don't know exactly how close they are to putting pen to paper at this point, but you know, that certainly gave the indication, and based on the history of the way the Steelers like to do things with players they like renegotiating before they enter their – or extending them before they enter their final year of the contract, you know, it sure seems like before the ball is kicked off next season, Alex Highsmith will have that extension. Now, if you go and you – it just so happens that you're sitting there at 17 – the top three corners are gone, the top three tackles are gone, and you're looking for a player of value and you see an edge rusher, maybe that does complicate your decision-making a little bit. But I still feel like the more likely scenario is that Alex Highsmith has an extension signed, pen to paper, before the ball's kicked off next season.
All things equal for you here, Mike. Is it left tackle for the Steelers at 17?
Left tackle, or I still think cornerback makes a lot of sense as well. I think those two positions. I think that if any of the top three tackles or any of the top three corners are on the board, I don't think the Steelers can make a bad pick at 17.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. Mike, tell me what's going to happen at camp this year. Are you excited for what's going to be the running back rotation? Is Najee Harris going to go through a full camp knowing that – because I've been thinking about this quite a bit, and I know it's something probably dumb to think about, but considering the injury and considering what happened at the during camp last year, do you think that the Steelers will take a different view into camp and their starters out there and absorbing so many hits and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I think Najee got injured the very first padded practice.
Right.
So, you know, he would have been out there whether you're going to plan to manage his workload throughout camp anyway. That's the challenge of playing the sport of football. Anytime you step on the field, you could have a season ending or career ending injury. You know, in terms of how the Steelers manage that workload, it's interesting because when Mike Tomlin came in, remember, he almost tried to make it a point, like, you guys are going to respect me, and he worked those guys so hard. And Paul Amalu and James Ferrier and all those guys talked about how by the end of the season they were worn out. And I'm sure that Mike Tomlin's thinking and approach to the workload has evolved, and I don't think that there's a perfect answer, but I would be curious. You know, I've actually thought about that, to ask him that question. How has his approach changed over time? Because that was something that he wanted to make a point. He wanted to have a hard, physical, tough camp. But as much as you benefit from that, you know, does that set you up for a 17-game season? So, but yeah, I don't know. There is always that balance between, you know, working them hard without overworking them.
There it is. Mike DeFabo, Athletic. Mike, we'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff. Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly.
And look at that weather out there. All that rain coming down. Lots of it over the last 24 hours or so. More of it on the way because it's spring, and with spring comes rain. And not just spring cleaning in your home, but what about outside your home? What's the state of your roof, your windows, even your gutters? You're going to find out when the rain comes down like this. If you need repairs in any of those departments, trust who I trust. The pros at PJ Fitzpatrick. I trust them because everything comes down to one word with PJ Fitzpatrick. Quality. Quality products, quality craftsmanship, and a quality customer experience. Saw it for myself when they installed a brand new front door on our home. They had their pros come out, show us exactly how they were going to take care of things. And then they kept in constant contact with us, answering all of our questions. Communication was excellent throughout the process. We were never wondering how things were going to work. And then after the fact, they checked up on us again as well to make sure we were satisfied. And we were, because PJ Fitzpatrick equals peace of mind. They back everything with a lifetime guarantee on materials and labor. Go to trustpj.com today. You don't want to wait for that leaky roof to lead to more trouble down the road. They've extended their 12-month financing deal for you. Nothing down, no interest, no payments for qualified buyers. Tell them Chris Mack sent you. They'll take great care of you. PJ Fitzpatrick. Visit TrustPJ.com today. That's TrustPJ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How about this from my friend Rich? Rich is a great guy, very good basketball player at Sarah Catholic and played at Carnegie Mellon. And he lives out of town now, but he listens to our show all the time on the Odyssey app. And Rich brings up a point. He was listening to the show earlier, and we were talking about the potential that they're going to put in front of the owners to flex the schedule, that you can flex now games in weeks 14 through the end of the year, from a Saturday or Sunday game into a Thursday night game, right? Rich says, can you imagine the poor soul that has to inform the Yinzers from the social club that their trip to Vegas has been canceled because a game flexed and now there's no flights or rooms?
Oh, my God.
I was going to say that, too, because we might be planning to go out there as well.
Yes.
For us.
Could you imagine 2 weeks before them saying, hey, you know that game that was supposed to be Sunday? Well, no.
Never mind.
It's now Thursday night. And then you go to look at the flights in Vegas and then you end up staying in, you know, Henderson. There's no places to stay. It's not going to affect millions and millions and millions of people, but it's going to affect the people that walk through the turnstile. Some of them.
And it affects the people who are most emotionally and mentally invested in their teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may not be the people that are most financially invested. Those are the people signing the checks, I guess, and they're the people that will make the most money from this. But the people that love to go to games and love to watch their teams in person, you're just so far down the line of the league's priorities.
If people say, do you care about the players? And the owners are going to say, wait, how much money is that television contract for? We can get more eyes and more advertisers? Yes. Boom, boom, rubber stamp. Send it home. All right, our Twitter poll. Go back and vote on that. It's at Fan Morning Show every single day. The weekend Twitter poll for this weekend is this. Your favorite mascot of these three, Pirate Parrot, Iceberg, or Stilly McBeam? 63% of you say Pirate Parrot now, 32.1% say Iceberg, and 4.7% say Stilly McBeam. I knew the Pirate Parrot would be a runaway. I wanted to see where the other two would fall and just how unpopular Stilly McBeam is. It raises this question. Do the Steelers even need a mascot? Do they need a person?
No.
Do they need anyone?
How long has Stilly McBean been around?
A decade and a half. Yeah, I don't know, 15 years, right? Something around there.
Yeah.
Stilly McBean.
No, they don't need him.
You look at me like a mascot guy, like I would know. I do know a guy who used to be the Pirates mascot. I know a guy who used to be Stilly McBean, actually. It just hit me in this very moment. And a guy who I went to high school with, and when the Steelers went overseas to play in London, he got to go with Stilly. It was like the greatest experience of his life. He did nothing other than dance around and then go to pubs and get hammered.
Did he? I mean, he went around. He was a recognizable figure to those people, and they were like, you're part of the team.
And that was the early days of Stilly, so I guess maybe I am the guy to come to. Yeah, it would have been about a decade or so.
Did he? He's not Stilly McBeam
anymore.
He's not. I've told a lot of people I thought Teresa Varley was Stilly McBeam from the Steelers.
She's like the size of my pinky.
Right. She's Stilly McBeam. They put her in that costume. No, she's wonderful. She's the greatest person in the world.
You'd have to put like Calvin Austin III on her shoulders.
Jeez. No. Stop it. Do you think when Stilly McBeam came in front of the panel of the brass at the Steelers that there was any dissenting opinion, that anybody that there was anybody who sat in that room and said, you know, maybe this isn't it. Because he kind of looks like Cower.
Well, I bet you they were doing this mock-up, right? Okay, you draw him and then flip it around, the big reveal, and it just winds up being a Simpsons version of Bill Cower.
In overalls.
Wow, you know what? Happy accident.
Is there anything negative with a pirate parrot? I mean, outside of the, you know, the felonious drug sales. Way back, that was a different era. That was, you know, B.C., not A.D. But do you think that there was anything...
Before cocaine?
Yeah, is there any... I don't see any bad qualities with the pirate.
None.
No. The parrot, for my money, is elite-level mascotry.
He is right there with the Philly Fanatic for me. Just a touch below. I mean, who are the greatest mascots?
The Philly Fanatic, the San Diego Chicken.
Yeah.
You know?
He's right there in that territory.
I'm just surprised they didn't just go with a pirate instead of, like, that's very innovative to be like, we're not gonna just have a pirate.
Well,
mascot.
They tried that for a little bit in what, the early 90s, right? They had
it
a guy
flew away. You didn't know that, Dorn?
He what?
Flew away.
He didn't sail away on a ship?
No, a parrot. They had a parrot. He just never came back.
Oh, he flew away.
Mm-hmm.
They had a real parrot that flew away?
No.
Could he talk?
Yeah, then remember the aviary was looking for it? No, I'm kidding. What about, so he's elite level. No, they did not have a pirate. They just had this guy. If they had somebody would complain that there was a pirate because it was swashbuckling and it stole. I mean this, and I've said this before not too long ago. I am stunned they're still called the Pirates because of how many people in this world get so freaking offended by everything and that somebody hasn't gone down there and tried to change their nickname. Does it offend me one bit? No. Do I hope that they're the Pirates for eternity? Yes. I can't believe there's not some March of the Karens down to PNC Park by this point in where we are in society.
The real version of Tom Hanks' character in that movie with the Somali pirates. He probably doesn't like pirates all that much.
They did have like the swashbuckling pirate for like a year, I think, and then the guy got caught acting like a goof and got fired.
I love it. That one thing I love on the scoreboard is when they used to give away those T-shirts, and he'd just look up the pirate and go, where's me shirt? Where's me shirt? Love that guy. Yuppie is a good mascot, too.
Who's that?
The Canadian guy, and then he was Expos guy. He's kind of worked double up there. Mm. Steely McBeam. And then I like, you know who's a quiet, good mascot? Slugger, the Royals guy. He's got like baseball bats coming out of his head. He has like a crown.
An alien.
Yes. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Okay.
And Casey Wolf. What about Casey Wolf, the Kansas City Wolf guy that Mahomes' brother was doing TikToks with? That's a bad day for him in front of Congress, huh? Mahomes' brother. They might be done with TikTok.
Bad day.
Those guys are in a bad way. I bet they watch those congressional hearings.
But does it connect to your Wi-Fi, though?
Right.
Explain it to me.
I bet those two were tuned into those hearings. Because their life's about that.
Can Yao Ming get in my emails? That's all I want to know.
Man. Charlie Campbell coming up next. We talk to him. At Draft Campbell is his Twitter. Walter Football he works for. And we're having him on because he is the best of the best at mock drafts. Wait till you hear from this guy. That's coming up next here. And it can be hard to decide what best part of a Dunkin' run is. Is it the coffee? Is it the $1 donut? The $2 stuffed bagel minis? Or the $3 sausage, egg, and cheese? It's all of it, really.
Yeah, you can add any of those to your coffee. Any one of them. Great deals on food for $1, $2, or $3 when you buy a medium or larger coffee from Dunkin'. It's always time to get it done with the Dunkin' run, including, well, right now, offers valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply. Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'.
Here we go. Charlie Campbell joins right now. You can find him on Twitter, at Draft Campbell. I'm going to read to you what this guy's bio is on Twitter. Draft analyst at Walter Football. You ready for this? Led all NFL media for mock draft accuracy in 2022, 2019, and 2017, and silver medal winner in 2021. We welcome in Charlie Campbell right now. Charlie, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. What's the key to getting a mock draft accurate?
Well, I completely throw out my opinion on players because it's 100% irrelevant. And I don't talk to agents either. I only talk to team people. I'm blessed and have a really wonderful network of guys at different teams that are very helpful to me. So I just lean on the guys who know more than I do. And just to get the right value of where they're valuing players, where they're grading them, and then listening to those guys who know more and putting all that information together to try and give our readers an accurate projection of how the draft will unfold.
Charlie, do you do your own evaluation of players and scouting of players, or do you kind of just go off of what has been said and what teams are saying about certain guys? Do you actually get into the nitty-gritty of maybe watching some film on some guys?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's vital for me in terms of having conversations with the scouts so I know the right questions to ask and who to, you know, be ready to talk about and really look into. So on College Football Saturdays, I work from noon until 2 a.m. doing two games at a time every week and then catching up on other games following that I record and get tape of. So it's an ongoing process. You know, I'm watching tape on guys all the way up until the week of the draft. And you can, like Chris Ballard from the Colts said in his introductory press conference years ago, there's always things you can learn from rewatching a game rather than just watching a tape once. You can learn. So, you know, months later, you might want to go back and watch Alabama and LSU and get refreshed on it. You might pick up some things that you didn't pick up on the first time you watched it.
So, Charlie, what are you looking for whenever you're watching these players? What's some things that you can identify that could say a guy's a first-round pick or a guy's going to go here? This guy will, have a long career in the NFL. What are some of the things when you're watching that film that you're looking for that is definite that this guy probably is going to go to this team?
Well, for me, I'm really thinking of from the team's perspective and trying to think of what is it that this guy offers that they want. You know, is it, for example, let's say Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver from TCU, where he has a really good skill set with size and speed, had some issues with hands, at times was banged up. So you kind of weighing all those different factors. And then you look at the, this guy's a first-round wide receiver. He's got size. He's got speed. He can make big plays downfield. Who needs a receiver? Who needs a receiver with size? Because some teams might prefer they already have a bigger receiver. They might want a receiver that's smaller, that's a bit more shiftier in terms of a route runner that can separate quickly. So all of that goes into the equation. But I'm really thinking of, what does the player have that teams want? Is he checking these different boxes in terms of skill set and talent and development? And how is that going to play at the next level? And is that going to appeal to scouts? And will it at what level?
Charlie, what's interesting to me is that in your latest mock draft you did just a couple days ago, you have the Steelers taking two positions that we all have talked about are very important for them to take at 17 and 32, offensive tackle and corner. But you have them taking two guys who I haven't seen mentioned by anybody else in the mock draft so far, Tyreek Stevenson, the corner from Miami at 17, and then Jalen Duncan, the offensive tackle from Maryland at 32. What led you in the direction of those guys rather than the same three or four names we've seen mocked to the Steelers repetitively at those two positions over the last 2 months?
Well, this draft is going to be really interesting, especially at the cornerback position, because I think two things, there's going to be an A or a B. Either A, there's a run on corners early, and that could start if corners start coming off the board in the back half of the top 10 to teams like the Lions, the Raiders, the Falcons, all could be in the cornerback market. Philadelphia, probably not. So if those teams start taking corners, that could kind of take out the top three, in which case a player like Tyreek Stevenson might be a candidate for the Steelers because he's big, fast, athletic, played a lot of off man, which wasn't his best fit this past season at Miami, but he's a really good press man corner, and he does have this experience playing off man, so he has some versatility there. So in terms of a fourth cornerback, you see upside there where he could be a good pro starter. Same thing with Jalen Duncan. Really good skill set, has some rawness, needs development, but in terms of a left tackle body, it's there. Feet, speed, athleticism, it's there. So at the top of the second round, I think that could be a really nice value pick because I don't see the top two offensive tackles, Peter Skoronski or Paris Johnson, getting to the Steelers. So I think the value is better for them to look at corner first and offensive line in the second round.
Yeah, that's all great. Here's the biggest question and the most important one, and the last one for you, Charlie. When you enter into this, because there's a sense of accomplishment, and there's a sense of you wanting to measure against all your compadres here. There's 32 picks in the first round, of course. Whenever you put a number out there, what is your goal and your aim in the terms of, from your mock, the number you want to get accurate to where you think you got to beat all the other people in the world doing mock drafts? Like, where does Charlie Campbell predict that number needs to be this year to win another crown?
Man, that's a good question.
That's why I asked it, Charlie.
I would say maybe around 10 or 11. Last year I had the first 11 in a row right, and then a trade happened at pick 12, and that sets off a domino effect that changes everything. So, you know, that's just the way it can be, and that's impossible to predict, you know, with trades and whatnot. So that's why I don't put them in mock drafts. But if I get, you know, 8, I'm okay with that. If I get 10 into the double digits, that's pretty good. So, you know, that's helpful to me. And teams ask me consistently where I'm projecting guys to go. They don't care about my opinion on players, but they do care about where they can get players, where they might be, how they're going to put a draft class together.
Right.
So I get a lot of those questions. They read the mocks. They want to know, you know, who they can get at different parts of the draft. So that's the value that they really present. And teams do their homework on them. Teams aren't interested in wasting time. So they're going to read them because it gives value to them.
Awesome. You're a smart man, Charlie. We appreciate it. And our listeners can find you at Draft Campbell. Go ahead right there. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, guys. Great talking with you.
Great talking with you, too. Go ahead and check him out. He's a three-time champ. Mm. Three-time champ. You gotta beat the champ to be the champ. Yep. And we just talked to the champ right there. Mock Draft Champ. Check him out, Charlie Campbell. Epic ending coming up in just a moment. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. All right. What a day here. What a week. But we're going to get out of here in short order. Big thanks to everybody who joined us. If you missed anything, Odyssey app, rewind feature. You can go back up to 72 hours. Why don't we hit our epic ending right now? Sure is. Epic ending brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today. Awaken180weightloss.com. Let's go. All right, Doran, what do you got?
Well, first, I got to tell you about 84 Lumber, cutting-edge training and unlimited opportunities for growth. Let 84 Lumber provide the tools you need to build a successful career in the construction industry. For jobs near you, visit 84lumber.com/careers. I learned that our guy, Charlie Champion Campbell, who we just had on, had me mocked back in 2010 to go in the third round to the New Orleans Saints. He was wrong, but at the same time, he was right. The Saints, with that pick, ended up taking Jimmy Graham. And I think that they benefited from that more than taking me. So I learned that. I learned that he had me mock going to Saints, but they ended up taking Jimmy Graham.
Could have worked out better for you, though, Dorn.
Probably would have.
You could have been Jimmy Graham.
Could have.
You could be living Jimmy Graham's life.
Sean Payton.
Wouldn't be here with you guys.
Nope. No, in that case, thank you, New Orleans Saints. I learned that Tyler Kennedy, He thinks if you put 66 out there on the power play, Crowley, you asked him this, you put him out there just on the power play for a few shifts a night, even at what is he, 57 now, I think, Mario Lemieux? You put him out there, he'd still be able to put up 50 points just on the power play alone. I don't think I disagree with him.
I don't know that I disagree with him either. I learned, staying on the hockey theme, that in 2013 on this date, the Penguins traded for Brendan Morrow, and, well, it didn't work out so well. You got Crankshaft, Jerome McGinley. That was the year. That might have been the most talented Penguin team, in my opinion, in the Crosby era, and we all know what happened there. They flamed out, scoring 2 goals in a 4-game series against Boston.
I learned today, and I'm reading the text here because I'm just going to do that, from our man producer Matt Call. Remember a couple weeks ago you were out. Matt was looking for some sort of exercise situation for his house because he's got a baby now and he can't get out as much. Norm from Mount Lebanon came through for Matt. Matt got an elliptical delivered to his house at his house, $20. Very gently used. He sent me a picture, Matt did, of the elliptical in his basement now.
Wow.
And he's been crushing it, using it. We came through. We used the Fan Morning Show as Tradio for a bit, and it happened for producer Matt. Wow. What a great
nice.
Bookend to that story. So there we are. What do you got, Doran, in terms of a prediction?
I predict this weekend that we're going to hear some rumblings of how our man Phil Dracovic is looking in spring ball. We're going to hear that he is a beast, he's a man amongst boys, and he's primed and ready for this season. Phil Dracovic having a nice spring. I'm predicting that. I don't know anything. Predicting that Phil Dracovic is balling.
All right. I predict Pens hosting the Caps tomorrow night, PPG Paints Arena. I predict Casey DeSmith will shut out the Washington Capitals in 2 starts against them this year. He's got 67 saves on 70 shots against. That's a .957 save percentage. He'll play well. The Pens will score a couple to support him, and they'll beat the Caps, get 2 points, and continue to march towards a wild card, hopefully.
I predict Tristan Jarry comes back healthy, plays against Washington, and then we don't see him again until the playoffs.
Oh, my God.
I predict an overtime game this evening in one of the 4 games. In the NCAA tournament, and maybe even double overtime. I am excited for it. It is nip and tuck. It's going to be very close. An overtime game this evening, and I can't wait. Let's go. Sure was, and I threw the sheet away I need to read from. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet.
Silverados and Colorados are back in stock, Colin.
Yeah.
For a new selection.
No, stop in at online sunchevy.com. Rain high around 50. I held up the garbage can and was reading like that. Anyway, hit the thing.
That's the weather.
Sure is. I need to tell you, though, about Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. These folks are here for you all the time. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman want to help you out. Let's put this in tax terms, can we?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.